This message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Majesty, the great on high, I stand
in awe of
I stand
in awe of you,
only one
to whom all praise is due.
I stand in awe.
Everywhere quiet, please. Leto sora hakti silamana kishte. Holy God, none can approach your impeccable holiness. None. But you gave us that privilege. We never even had such initiative to reconcile ourselves to you. In our dead states, we were cut off from your life. But you reached down to us. So today, your holiness has become our holiness. We stand in awe of this. We say thank you. Now again today, our hearts and our minds are opened to be instructed, to be educated in righteousness. We set apart every superfluity of naughtiness. We receive with meekness your word. And we affirm and declare and decree that we are doers and not just hearers alone. In Jesus' name we pray. After the church, we shout a bigger amen.
Amen.
Say this after me. The word of God is working for me. Say it louder. Say the word of God is working for me. Amen. Please give someone a high five beside you. Tell them they're welcome to church. Thank you, Minister Sandra. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's celebrate Minister Sandra. Let's celebrate her. Come on, we can do better. Amen. Amen. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you come with your Bible? I hope you all came with your Bible, whether it's soft copy or hard copies. Good. Turning your Bibles quickly to the book of 1 Peter. This Bible study, 1 Peter, chapter number 1. 1 Peter, chapter number 1. There are four scriptures we're going to be looking into majorly in this series. But I'm going to be treating one today. Then the rest other days. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I want us to read together in unison. 1 Peter 1 and verse 16. 3, 2, go! I want us to say it louder together in unison. 3, 2, go! Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, anytime you read the word of God and you see where the Bible says it is written, that means he's quoting the scripture. What we call the scripture today, the full canon of scripture today, was not what they had in their time. I have taught you during 3 days of glory how we came about what we call the Bible today. Bible simply means a collection of books. Holy Bible means a collection of holy scripture. A book is holy because it speaks about one holy man. And that's why a lot of people wonder why there are some Jewish addendum that never made it into the full canon of scriptures. I've read some of them. They are just with their nonsense. They didn't make it to the 66 books of the Bible. Why? Because they never spoke about the person who is the substance of scripture. Number two, Jesus never quoted from them. Jesus says, search the scripture, for in them you think you find eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. John 5:39. So in the book of Luke 24, when Jesus saw these disciples on their way to Emmaus, he said to them, "Oh, you fool, and of slow of heart to believe all that the prophet had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to do what? Enter into his rest." So Jesus summarizes the scripture of the prophets to have just two things. What are those things? The sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow. So the Bible says in verse 44, it says, "And beginning from Moses and Psalms and prophets, he began to expound unto them what? The things concerning himself." So Jesus, during his time, he categorizes the scripture to us as the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Hallelujah. So that was all they had at the time of Jesus. So, because the scripture speaks about Jesus, so Jesus never quoted from all those. How many of you have seen those big books of some, like Catholic books, you know, where you have Tobit, Maccabees? Have you seen those books? Do you know why they are not in the full canon of scripture? Jesus never quoted from them. And if Jesus never quoted from them, we have no business with them. Because the scripture is about one man called Jesus. So those scriptures that Jesus quoted, all right, are the ones that made it to the scripture. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they only testify to the humanity of Jesus. That's why they are in the scripture. You hear Jesus quoted David, right? He quoted from Samuel. He quoted Genesis. Remember when he was talking about marriage? He says, "In the beginning, it was not so." So Jesus quoted Exodus, he quoted those scriptures. He quoted, it's either he quoted or he referenced. So that's how we got those collection of books. See, I've told you, when I speak the word of God with you, I teach you like I know you are a global being. Because you see, there are some things that are not in Nigeria yet that are already attacking people's faith in the Western world. It's okay to shout glory to God, hallelujah, not until you get among philosophers. Superfluity of naughtiness. Their head is full of jargons. Until they begin to confuse you. But I know you are unconfusable. Can there be given to that? So that's how we got these books. Then the epistles were just follow-up addendum. They were follow-up materials of the apostles to their converts. So when Paul goes to Corinth, plants a church, now he's in the prison, you know, he got into trouble a lot. So he will write a letter as an addendum, as a follow-up material. Just like when you receive Christ into your heart, you get born again, then the ministry gives you a book. I remember in the year 2000 when I went to Renabonki's crusade in Ibadan. That was the first time I saw a miracle in my life, bro. Everyone that got saved that time, what did they do? They give them a book they called "Now That You Are Saved." How many of you know that book? That blue book like this. That was what the epistle were. Even Paul never knew his writings are going to be gathered together and called the Bible today. He never knew. They were just, he was just writing to follow up. So his writings were not, the people that he was writing to were not seeing those books, or those teachings were not new to them. It was a follow up material. So that's how we have 66 books of the Bible today. Is that clear? So when he says it is written, so he is quoting from scripture, "Be ye holy." So where is he quoting for? I show you. Open to the book of Leviticus 11. One of these days we're going to do a teaching on the book of Hebrews. That book is a bloody book. I love that book. Amen. Glory to God. Anytime I see Leviticus, I think of Hebrews. Because Leviticus and Hebrews, you can read them. If you read the book of Hebrews, you now read Leviticus, you think you're reading the same book. Because all the shadows in Leviticus, you now start seeing it clearly in the book of Hebrews. Glory to God. Leviticus 11 and verse 44. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy. For I am holy, neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So that means the word holy is found in the Old Testament. So the first thing I want to do is, when I was teaching you on hermeneutics, the science of Bible interpretation, there is something we call the law of first mention. Right? That means when a statement is mentioned in scripture, you want to find out when was it first mentioned. Then you now understand the context of its usage. So the law of first mention says, oftentimes when a statement or a sentence is first used, the contextual usage usually sets a trajectory for every other place you will find it in scripture. Let me give you an instance. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Right? He says, don't be unequally yoked. So, for you to understand the word unequally yoked, then you have to go to where it was first mentioned in Deuteronomy. When God was giving instruction, he says, don't yoke two different animals. Because now, in those days, they use animals to plow the soil. So, yoke is that metal that they put on their neck. Let's say if they are using, let's say, a cattle, for example, or an ox. That thing they put on their neck to yoke them together is called yoke. That iron is called yoke. Then they will now attach the plow to them. So as they are moving, the plow is plying the soil. So that's yoke. So God now says, don't yoke two different animals. He says it is cheating. For example, if you yoke a horse, H-O-R-S-E, with a cattle, which one will get tired first? God says that's wickedness. So God says, don't yoke two different animals together. God says it is an unequal yoking. So Paul now interjects, he brings that same language to 2 Corinthians 6. He says, if a Christian is having an intimate relationship with an unbeliever, Apostle Paul now says it is an unequal yoking. Do you not get it now? He says you are different species. You are different things. It's like yoking a cattle and what? A horse. It's like yoking a goat and a ram. They are two different things. So how did I know? Because of the law of first mention. So the law of first mention helps you to know how a word is first used in the scripture, so that it will set for you a trajectory, so that every other place you find it, you know what it means. Are you following me? So now we want to find out. Open to the book of Exodus quickly. I want to even just show you a few things where it was found before even going to where it was first found. It was first found, actually, the definition, the Hebrew word used, all right, was found in Genesis. But let's start from Exodus. Open to Exodus quickly. Let me show you that quickly. Exodus. We're going to do a lot of reading quickly. I trust God for time. Hallelujah. Exodus 3. Exodus 3 and verse 5. This is the first time we're going to see the word holy used. Look at it. He says, and he said, draw not nigh thither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. So, we can see an inanimate object is referred to be what? Holy. Now, listen. Can we say that ground is sinless? Talk to me. So that means we can't substitute holy for sinless. The opposite of sinless, the opposite of sin, therefore, is not holy. The opposite of sin is righteousness. And the only way to be righteous is to receive the gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. Are you following? So, he calls the ground to be holy. Now, you all know the story, right? It was this guy, Uncle Moses. He knew he was supposed to be a savior. He had this. Everybody always have that in the man, but he lacked the wisdom to go about his purpose in life. He thought it was going to be by strength, so he began to kill them one by one. On one day, he fled when he found out the king might be aware of what he did, and that costed him 40 years of his life in the wilderness, doing a shepherd job. So on this ground that he has been a shepherd for many years, on this same ground, he has done his nomadic herding. He was an herdsman. He has become a herdsman, carrying cattle up and down. On that same ground, one day God trying to catch his attention, then he saw the bush was burning, but the bush was not consumed. The bush was burning, but not consumed. But that was God trying to get his attention. So Uncle Moses felt, well, this bush is burning and it's not consuming. Wow, it's like seeing magic. So he dropped all the animals he was rearing and he went there. The Bible says he said, I must see this great sight. He called it great sight. I mean, how can you see bush burning and it's not consuming? At first, you want to take water and wash up your face. I hope I'm not dreaming. So Moses walked up there and found out, boy, it was real. The bush is burning, but it's not consumed. Then he heard a voice. That's what we read just now. And he said, draw nigh thither. That means don't come here near. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Somebody say holy ground. So that ground had no intelligence of its own. That ground cannot speak. That ground is an inanimate object. Yet we found it to be declared holy. Why? Now, the word holy there, write this down. There are two Hebrew words used for holy. Number one is kadosh, that means Q-A-D-O-C-H. Q-A-D-O-C-H. That one is an adjective. Some of you are like, ah, pastor, we don't finish English or German. You can't carry us doing this for school, church again. You need it. Amen. Number two is kodesh. That one is Q. You can spell that one, right? You're familiar with that. Q-O-D-E-S-H. Kodesh. This one is a noun. You know what the noun is, right? Now, this kodesh is actually a Hebrew word that is taken from kudash. Now, kudash is a verb. That's the reason why I wanted to show you about kudash. Kudash is Q-U-D-A-S-H. It's a verb and it appeared 174 times in scripture. If you run through your, I'm not even know East Word. If you, I run through the East Word, then I went through the reference. Was studying early in the night, late in the night, and I saw counted. So the thing just wrote 174 times. Amen. That's to show you the emphasis. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, in English language, if this thing appeared 174 times, for you to have an adjective, then there must be a noun that adjective is adjectifying. Do you understand? There must be a noun that placed adjective on that object or that person or that people or that ground. Are you following? Praise the Lord. So the word kodesh being a verb, let me tell you what it means. It simply means to treat differently. To treat differently. It also means to dedicate. That's the meaning of kodesh. It means to dedicate. So, if something is dedicated, then there must be a dedicator. Come on. I say for something to be dedicated, there must be a dedicator. Praise the Lord. Let's run through some scriptures that will help you in that same Exodus. Open to Exodus 12 quickly. Exodus 12. Are you there? I won't wait for you. Time is fast spent. Exodus 12 and verse 16. He says, and the first day there shall be an holy convocation. Somebody say holy convocation.
Can you see? He calls the convocation holy. And in the seventh day, there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. So we see holy convocation there, right? Now open to Exodus 15 quickly. Exodus 15. I'm sure you know this one. This was the song of Miriam when they left Egypt, when God delivered them. Who is like unto thee? Verse 11. O Lord, among the gods, who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Then verse 13 again. Thou in the mercy hast led for the people with thy hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in the strength unto thy holy habitation. So he calls a habitation holy. Habitation means house, right? So we can see holy habitation. Praise the Lord. Chapter 16, same Exodus. Chapter 16. And verse 23. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seed that which we seed today, and that which remaineth over lay off for you to be kept until the morning. So, he calls tomorrow holy Sabbath. Someone say holy Sabbath. Exodus 22. I'm trying to show you where holy appears. I can't run through all of them. I'll just run through a few, but just to make a point. Exodus 22. And verse 31. He says, and ye shall be holy men. Holy men unto me. Neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beast in the field. Ye shall cast it to the dogs. So, we have seen a few places where holy is being used. So, holiness defines an action. There is an action that makes something holy. I'll give you a very contemporary example. When I was growing up as a kid, I mean, very many of you agree with me. In your house, when you were growing up, there is a cup on the dining or in the kitchen that no one dares use it. It belongs to daddy. But the irony is, when mama went to the market to buy that cup, now listen to me now, if you miss me, it's better you just carry your Bible and go sleep at home. If you miss what I'm about to say now, so don't miss it. When your mama went to the market to buy a cup, maybe she went to buy, you know, maybe a dozen of cups. They were all the same cups. But she took one of that cup and said, this cup from today is for daddy. And no one ever uses it except daddy. That cup is holy. It is dedicated. It is set apart for daddy. Now, for that cup to be holy, someone had to make it holy. And who was that? Come on, talk to me. Who was that? Your mom. Your mom had to make that cup holy. Why? She set the cup apart for your dad alone. Are you following what I'm saying? So that means, write this down, that means holiness is not intrinsic. That means it was not as if when mommy got to the market, then they saw the cup, and the cup, there is something special about that cup from the market that says only daddies should use this cup. Are you following what I'm saying? It was your mom who separated that cup and said, this cup from today belongs to daddy, and daddy alone should use it. It's just like Aaron. God gave instruction how the cloth of Aaron should be, and God called it what? Holy garments. That means only Aaron should wear this thing. It's customized. Are you following? So the concept of holiness has nothing to do with what you do. It produces what you do anyway, but it has to do with the one who made it holy, who made them holy, who made that thing holy. Because you see, holiness, like we've seen here, simply means to set apart. Someone say set apart. Say it again.
I mean, the land Moses stood has no intelligence of its own. But God said, the land which you are in, the ground where you stand on is holy. Why? God's presence was there. So it is the presence of God that allocates holiness. So we are holy, not because of what we have done. We are holy because the Holy God lives in us. So we are set apart for Him. That's why Apostle Peter could quote Leviticus to ask us and say, be ye holy. The reason why He can tell us to be holy is because we are already holy. Don't forget, in the very next chapter, He calls you a holy nation. Praise the Lord. You see, the word Kodesh, that's the verb from which you get Kodesh, where they got the word holy. The first time it was mentioned, I give it to you, Genesis. You know, I've told you, when I was teaching you 3 days of glory, I said, every major doctrine, you will find it in the law of Genesis. Every major doctrine, you will find it in Genesis. Praise the Lord. You will find it in Genesis as what? Huh? Germ form. It's a seed. Oh! Now I can see why some of you make A in your university. Praise the Lord. Very correct. Every doctrine you will find as a germ in Genesis, you will find as a shadow in the law, you will find as what? As a prophecy in the prophets, as what? As what again in the Psalms? As sacred songs of David in the Psalms. Praise the Lord. In the teachings of Jesus as a parable. Right? Amen. As a practice, orthodoxical practice, a pattern in the book of Acts. Right? Come on, talk to me. Praise the Lord. Then you will find it very clear as a teaching, as a doctrine, as an exegesis in the New Testament, precisely in the epistles. So every doctrine must pass through this test. So this holiness we're talking about now, from the verb where it was coined, Kodesh is an adjective, and it was coined from the verb Kodesh. So the first time we find the word Kodesh is in Genesis. Genesis 2. Genesis 2, are you there? Genesis 2 and verse 2. We're going to get a few clues here. And verse 2, and on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He has made. Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Someone say sanctified. That's Kodesh. God allowed it. He made it holy. Because that in it, He had rested from all His work which God created and made. You know, I've told you, Genesis, you know the Pentateuch, right? They were written by whom? Moses. So you see a lot of things in Genesis, like, you know, anytime you read Genesis, you think of a tree, you know, like a snake, you know, came to give them a fruit. Those were pictures that were given to Moses. And Apostle Paul makes us to know. Jesus also made us to know why. He says, because natural man cannot understand the things of God, because they are foolishness unto him. So God had to speak to them through all those, you know, Hebrew 1:1. He says, God who has sundry times, you know, spake to the fathers in diverse manners, polumeros. That means the language of scriptures were not straight. They were not straight. So while you are there imagining a snake, you know, giving Eve fruit, so you want to ask yourself, does a snake ask hand? And by the way, why is there is a fruit that they have to eat? Some say it's coconut, some say it's apple. I don't know where they got it from. Some even say this thing here is the one that hooked in Adam's neck. They call it Adam's apple. But
Jesus in Matthew 15 from verse 11 to 19 tells us it is not what a man eats that defiles him, but that which comes out from the heart of a man. So we know it was not fruit. Can you see that? So a consistent reading of the Bible, I've read the Bible back to back, has made me to realize that fruit has to do with what a man does. All right? Are you following? Eating has to do with what a man believes. That's why Jesus could use words like, if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Those are metaphors. The Bibles are full of metaphor. I taught you on hermeneutics that one of the barriers of Bible interpretation, right? Good. So these are metaphor. It's a metaphor. And in metaphor, unlike in simile, where you use something like, you know, for example, I can say, you know, I love Michelle Obama. She's wine. It doesn't mean she's Bacchus. I'm just saying maybe she's smooth. She talks smoothly. She's brilliant. That's what I mean. It's a metaphor. It's like, you know, simile will say, look at his head like a lion. That's simile, like us. But metaphor will say, that guy is a lion. So you see, the Bible is replete with metaphor. Are you following what I'm saying? So here, when Moses, you know, God was saying, the Bible was saying, you know, Moses was one writing here. He says, God rested. Can God ever get tired? Think about that. He says, God rested on the seventh day. That was the only way God could convey a reality to him. But here's the point. I don't want to go ahead of myself. I don't want to go out of the context of our teaching. But here's the point. He hallowed it. He sanctified it. Kodash. This is the first time we saw Kodash in scripture. Open to Mark 2. Just to buttress what I just said now. Mark 2. You hear what Jesus said about it. Mark 2 and verse 27. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Hallelujah. He says the Sabbath was not made for man. Was made for man, rather, not man for Sabbath. In other words, this is just play of words. In other words, man made a day separate. Man was the one who hallowed a day. For example, now, we made Sunday special. But there's nothing special about Sunday. We were the one who chose Sunday. Haven't you? If you are a geography student, that's why you see, you know how dumb it's going to be for somebody. Sometimes when I see some people, so they went to one Babalawo. Babalawo said, when it is 12 midnight, wake up, go naked, carry 3 eggs, open the book of Moses, raise up your leg. And you see, do you know how foolish it is that, do you know some professors too are into diabolic things? Sometimes I feel like, professor, you went to school and you know that 12 midnight he told you is another person's 1 a.m. is another person's afternoon in the U.S. Come on. Are you following what I'm saying? So what he's saying is, even, by the way, Sunday, when I saw it was Sunday, Sunday means the day for the sun. That was the god of sun that they were worshipping. So there's nothing special about it. We made it special. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So we were the one that chose that day, and then we made it special. So now look at what he says. He says, the Lord rested on the seventh day. The point is, he sanctified it. So now, for the Jewish guy, he feels, well, Sabbath is on Saturday. It's the seventh day. So we are going to keep it holy. And that's why the law says they must not do any servile work. That day is holy. But it was God conveying a deeper spiritual reality to Moses. It was not a day. Notice Jesus said he says the Son of Man is the Lord of Sabbath. Listen, Jesus is the Sabbath. So now he says He hallowed, he sanctified the seventh day. That means God hallows, sanctifies faith in Sabbath, faith in Christ. Come on, are you following me? So that means he sanctified the seventh day. In other words, faith in Christ is holiness. So you are set apart the moment you express your faith in Christ. And I've told you, whenever we talk about Christ, we have two things in mind. Whenever we talk about Christ, we have two subjects in mind. Whenever we talk about Christ, we have two topics in mind. Whenever we talk about Christ, we have two subject matter in mind. What are those two things? Come on, talk to me. The sufferings of Christ, When Christ was going to reveal himself to the people on their way to him, the disciples, and was going to prove that he was the Christ, the Bible says he withheld his appearance from them. And he began to expound to them from all the scripture. He was explaining to them, he says, "Oh, you fool and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet had said. Ought not Christ the Savior?" That means in explaining who the Christ is, he summarizes it into two things. And what are they? The sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So the moment a man believes in the sufferings of Christ and in the glory that should follow, the sufferings there talks about what? The death and the burial. The glory there talks about what? The resurrection and the ascension. The moment a person believes in this, he is accounted holy. This is the foundation for the doctrine of holiness. And that's why Apostle Paul could call, people who, do you know the church in Corinth? They were called saints. These were people that the Bible says they were not walking in love. They were fighting. Paul had to settle a lot of issues. One was even cohabiting with his stepmom. In 1 Corinthians 7:14, do you know the Bible says a believing woman, all right, sanctifies her unbelieving husband? It doesn't mean that our salvation has covered for our husband who is not saved. There is only one way to be saved. But what that is saying is, listen, that marriage, because she's a Christian, as far as she's a Christian, that marriage is sanctified. So that means she has to walk in love. She has to treat her husband well. Why? Because that marriage is sanctified, is holy. So yes, I just want to lay a foundation today. We'll go deep next week. Holiness is allocated by God's presence. Praise the Lord. He said, he called him, he says, to Judah, he prophesied. He says, "The scepter shall not depart from your hand until what? Until Shiloh comes." So Shiloh in Hebrew means the man of rest. So he's talking about Jesus. So it is not just a gathering. Shiloh is not where you gather every year. Shiloh is a person. So you always see those things. Are you feeling what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. So here he tells us, he says, he hallowed, he sanctified the seventh day. Now, okay, go to the book of Hebrews quickly. Let's clear the air on that Genesis 2. We're still talking about holiness, right? Good. Hebrews 4, quickly. Hallelujah. And one of the greatest damage that living in the shadow does is, it makes you keep chasing what is not there. So why the Jewish people were all about the seventh day? Do you know they fought Jesus for healing somebody on the Sabbath? Do you know how mentally depraved somebody would be? That you know someone that has been sick for many years and he was healed, but because you want to hold on to a particular rule and you refuse to want to accept that individual should be healed. That's how stringent, how tight they were with the law. And it's so painful. Do you know how painful it is for you to have believed a lie for many years? It's terrible. I told you here about how my aunt, she's going to Jerusalem, she's well educated. We just found out last year that her birthday is not actually on the 1st, it's 31st of March. And she would have fought you if you ever told her that. So you could believe something, but it's a lie. You could believe a lie. Okay, everything you know so well, right now that you can fight for, like your date of birth, right? Your name, for example. Someone had to tell you. What if they were wrong? Your date of birth, like me now, for example, I was born in the Missionary Hospital, which is now the private hospital of Bowen University at that time. My mom told me it was all these white men that removed her from me. What if those American women, those missionary women, have used American dating in my report card? You know American dating? And then the month is the day, and the day is the month. So I've been carrying it all my life. And if you tell me it is not so, I will fight you. Everything you ever knew, someone had to tell you. So it's possible to believe a lie. So these Jewish guys, they held on to the seventh day as Sabbath. They never knew the Lord of the Sabbath himself was Jesus. And that's the danger of living in the shadow. So even right now, a lot of people, you know, they want to, if you don't baptizing, I want to baptizing, I want to dip yourself inside water. Kukuma, go and swim. Are you following? So there is a deeper spiritual meaning to those things. They are just shadows. Like Jesus was eating communion, you know. There are meanings to those things. You go to some white garment churches. Oh, if you go to a white garment church, if you ever attend a white garment church, you will see revelations. I'm serious. When you get in there, you will see menorah. Oh my God, that's the seventh spirit of God. Talking about the seven manifestations of the same spirit. You see beautiful things. And you feel like, oh my God. You see, in fact, if you go to a Catholic church, you will see that the candle, the light must not go off. Talking about devotion in Leviticus. When he told the high priest, he talked to the priest, he says, listen, fire must not go down from this altar. Oh, so much to share. But those were shadows. So in a white garment church, for example, if a woman is menstruating, she won't come into the church until after 7 days when she will now come. Hey, beautiful revelation there. We're not clean, we're not pure. But hey, Christ has come and he's made us beautiful and clean. Hallelujah. That is the danger of living in the shadow. So Hebrews 4 explains to us in verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake. Now, the writer of the book of Hebrew here now can't even say precisely, but we know where he was saying. He says, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. So, the writer of the book of Hebrews is corroborating Genesis and Exodus together to talk about rest. And we just read that in the book of Genesis now. That rest. What did he say is that rest in the verse 3? Come on. Verse 3, what did he say? For we which have what? That means the day we believed, we have entered into that rest. So that rest that God had, Jesus said, he said, Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for Sabbath. In other words, it was man who made that day Sabbath. He said, for he himself is the Lord of the Sabbath. That tells us simply that what? That listen, by believing, we have come into rest. By believing, we have been made holy. By believing, that day that was set apart, which is a person, not a day, we have also been set apart. I hope this is not too hard for you to comprehend. Praise the Lord. Say after me, say faith in Christ is holy. Say it again. See, holy, like we said here, from the verb kodesh, but kodesh itself is an adjective. Let me give you an example. See, I've given you an example, a very simple one. I said, if your mom goes to the market and buy plenty cups, and she says, this particular one is for mommy, it's for daddy. Nobody uses it except daddy. From that day, that cup is holy. It is set apart. Are you following what I'm saying? I'll read some scriptures to you next week or upper week. Like 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, when it says, "He has washed, he has sanctified." That means you are set apart by the Spirit of God. So that means the Spirit of God set you apart. So now, that's why the injunction that Peter gave, we are going to read it in context and then we'll close. But I just want to lay a foundation today for you. You are not going to be holy by what you do. You are holy, given an injunction to be holy, to walk holily. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So let me read to you 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. You know, when we say holy, we can't overemphasize this. For example, do you know there are holy angels and there are demonic angels, right? There's Holy Spirit and there are evil spirits. So they are all spirits, but there is a Holy Spirit. Why? Because it is set apart. It is God's spirit. It is different. It is holy. Are you following what I'm saying? See, this chair is holy. Sure, you know. Why is it holy? Because the ministers and stewards have said, you know what? Pastor alone will be sitting down here. So if you sit down here, what you are doing is you are desecrating the chair. Because the chair is of pastor, that makes it holy. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Look at 1 Peter 1. Where we began from, then we close. Just introduction today. Just introduction. Did you learn anything at all? Good. 1 Peter 1 and verse 2. Look at it. 1 Peter 1 and verse 2. He says, elect. Shout amen, somebody. He calls you elect. Oh, I'm elect of God. Hallelujah. I'm elect. Look at it. He says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, how did he elect you? Come on, talk to me. Through what? Through the sanctification of the Spirit. Sanctification. Set apart. I will give you the Greek word next week. We'll go that into that next week. Agios. Agiasune. You see those verbs. Listen. What he's saying is, listen. You are elect by the sanctification of the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit sets you apart. And you know, in our boroughs and Old Testament English, you know, Apostle Peter, you know, he says, you know, he was talking to the Jews, so they understood the language he was speaking with. Look at what he says. He says, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of sprinkle. And the blood of sprinkle is not that zobo that you have in a bowl and someone is sprinkling on you. No, that is the work of a high priest. Only a high priest does that, and he did it once. And by the way, it wasn't blood they were sprinkling. Oh yeah, the Old Testament guy, the Old Testament high priest like Aaron, they were sprinkling blood. But Jesus didn't sprinkle no blood. He was the blood. Himself was the blood. I've told you, in Leviticus 17:14, the Bible makes us understand that blood equals life. So when you see blood, next month we'll do a series on the blood. Amen. So he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now go to verse. We read verse 16 to begin with, right? Now let's read in context. Go to verse 14. It will bless you. Verse 14. Look at verse 14. It now says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. So he's telling you, don't do like you used to do when you were in the world. Verse 15 now says, but as he which had called you is holy. Now, is there, is italicized. Check your Bible. Check it. Is it italicized? He says, but as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. Conversation there is some anastrophe. It means manner of life, conduct. So he's giving you a spiritual injunction that just the way your father is holy. I mean, if he's your father, all right? And he's telling you to be holy. So he is saying, listen, just as you are as an obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of life. That means, don't forget, he talks about being a child here, right? Children. And he who has called you is God. So that means your God is holy. So as children born of a holy God, you are holy. So he now tells you, you should do what? You should live holily. So he now says, be ye holy. Why? Because you are holy. Don't forget, he has told you in verse 2 that you are elect. How? By the sanctification of the Spirit. And that was also the instruction he gave in Hebrews 12. He says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now somebody say, yeah, you see, if you don't walk in holiness, you will not go to heaven, you will not see the Lord. You see, that's the only part of saying that. No, that's wrong interpretation. I will show you that next week. I will show you that next week, because no time anymore. But let me just tell you how it ought to be written. He says, supposed to be written as, follow peace with all men, otherwise men won't sing the Lord. He says, follow peace with all men and holiness. Because, see, what he's saying is, listen, you have been made holy. So let that holy nature filter into every crevice of your life. Otherwise, others won't see the Lord. Listen, before God, come. Stand like this. All right, stand like this. Sandra, Minister Sandra, come. Let's say Minister Sandra is God. Amen. Come like this. Face us like this. Now, forget about this drama. Just assume me and ask him, we are just one. He's just one person. Alright? Are you following me? The same face. Let's say we are Sesame twins. You know, just our head is together. Thank God we are the same height. Praise God. Now, this is Jesus. Always ascended before the Father. So, as far as God is concerned, God sees us through the eyes of whom?
Jesus.
So we are holy, accepted in the beloved before God. But before the world, this is asking now, facing the world. Now, if asking is acting otherwise of the holiness that I am already here right now, the world won't see the Lord. Are you following?
Yes.
So now me, facing the world. So that's why the Bible says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. A lot of people don't understand that scripture. What he's saying is, we are the righteousness of God. That means we are the right standing of God before men in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, I'll show you next week. We'll do more teaching on that next week upward. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, he already told us that Christ is our righteousness. The Kayasune. But he now tells us that we should let us to be what? Be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means we should, the Greek word there is rectitude. Right living. So, we live holily before the world, alright, as a fruit. I'll show you that next week, Apostle, you know, when the Bible says that, you know, we should bear fruits of holiness. Are you listening to me? Is this making sense to you? So, 247, you are holy before the Father. But then he's now giving you an injunction. He says, as your father, as children, as obedient children, be you holy, for he who has called you is also holy. So because you came from a holy God, you are holy. Therefore, he tells you, walk holy. Please go back to your seat. Thank you. Say this after me. I am holy. I am set apart. Let me just read the scripture to you, then we close. I've mentioned it anyway, but I'll just read it. 1 Corinthians 6. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of men, abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Close your Bible. Brethren, he says none. Oh, you have to sorrow for your sin. Sorrow for your sin. You know some churches, they do sorrow for your sins. But don't stop there. In verse 11, he says, And such were some of you. See, someone asks a question. He says, how will someone go higher after he has been falling several times? I said, no problem. The first step to go higher in your Christian walk, everybody desires to bear fruit. Your first step is to first forgive yourself of all those fallings. See, do you know one of the problems I've realized in talking to many people, you know, getting to counsel with people? The problem with most people is really not about the forgiveness that they are receiving in Christ. Oh. The problem with most people is forgiving themselves. Many people have become so self-righteous than God. You know, I was talking to a lady, I said, all right, God has forgiven you. And she said, yes, I know. But I'm just imagining, how can me do that thing? Me. No, me. I say, yeah. But Christ has forgiven you. I say, I know. He says, but how can me? I say, but God has forgiven you. He says, yes, I know. But how can me? The thing they pay me anytime when I remember. I say, yeah. So now your standard is higher than God. So the first step is first forgiving yourself. That's the freedom you need to start walking rightly. Listen, when you meditate much on the fact that you are made right with God and you are holy, you will live holily, more unconsciously than deliberately. Did you hear what I just said? If you are preoccupied with the fact that Christ has made you holy, you will live holily, more unconsciously than deliberately. That's why this, what will Jesus do? See, sometimes when you are conscious of, I don't want to sin, I will not sin. I will not sin. Like Joseph Prince says, those that he used to tell himself, I will not lie. Say he would have told 10 lies. Stand. I remember when I was in secondary school. You know, I went to a boarding school. I will pray. Every Sunday, I used to give my life to Christ. FCS. I will not lie. The life finished praying like this. One singer will say, come here. Do you have milk in your cupboard? I said, no, my parents did not buy milk for me. I did not come with any milk. I don't even have anything. I have never eaten any milk in my life before. He said, who's an poor guy? I said, go. I would say, I just lied. But you know what? This was the cause of that lie, right? That one is fear. Praise God. Do you know, sometimes, you know, I was talking to one of our ministers. I said, do you know, sometimes we are so preoccupied about issues so much that we don't deal with it from the roots. Do you know when Abraham lied? Abraham lied before God. As in, God said, you laughed. He says, no, I didn't laugh. Sarah was laughing. God said, you laughed. He says, I didn't laugh. They were lying before God like this. And God did not say, oh, you wicked woman, you lied before me. God knew the source. The source was not lying. The problem was they were afraid. Do you understand what I'm saying? Anyways, this is not to say lying is good. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians 4, it says, lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. You have put off. Look at what he now says. After he has said all those things, he says, but such were some of you. But you, you are washed, you are sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by what? By the Spirit of our God. By the Spirit of our God. So, we are holy, set apart. So, we are now given the injunction to live holy. A Christian should not be lying. A Christian should not be fornicating. Why? Because you are holy. Do you know that was the contextual injunction that Paul gave? He says, flee fornication, right? Look at what he said. He says, why? Because he now tells us, he says, for God dwells in you and your body are his, right? For you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. That was the reason why he says to flee fornication. Why? Because you don't own you anymore. So you have no right to do what is against his tenet, his principles, his precepts. Why? Because you are not your own anymore. So not fornicating is not what makes you holy. You are already holy because he bought you. You belong to him. So he's now telling you, I own you. Don't do this anymore. Are you following? So this is the coin. The church, especially in Africa, has twisted it upside down. But now here is it. So the church in Africa teaches that your righteous living, your right living will earn you holiness. Brethren, we have to quit all these things. Otherwise, we will not see the Lord. That's the way we will be holy before God. Mm-mm. It ought to be, brethren, God has made us holy. So let us walk holily. Do you understand the difference? Because we are made holy to walk holily. It's a nature. Are you following me? This is the right perspective, the right doctrine to holiness. And you all know how to walk this in your life. Listen to me. I love the Kenneth Copeland says it. He says, as Christians, we fall forward. We don't fall backward. So, what does that mean? I give you an example before about a lady that I helped by the grace of God in my service here. This lady, because she finished school very pretty early, I think at the age of 18 plus, about 19, that was when she finished university. She went to a private university. So she got the first boyfriend that she ran into. The guy was a Yahoo guy. That one will have sex with her every day. I have not seen that kind of man before. For 6 months, she went to cohabit with this guy. That exposed her to a lot of things. So when she was coming for NYC, she had to, you know, it was prophetically, you know, because they were not our badge. I have to, well, you know, I was the house manager, you know. Don't worry, when you are serving, you know what that means. I was the house manager, so we went to camp. As I saw her prophetically, I brought her out, you know, by the word of faith, word of knowledge, prayed for her. And she began to tell me, this lady, every week, if she does not sleep with a guy, she will be sick. She'll be looking for somebody to sleep with her. The thing is, it has become. So I began to teach her God's word, follow up on her, you know, follow up on her, give her God's word. That was then when I was in. I gave her some tapes I taught before I came to a camp that I came with to listen to. I gave her Kenneth Copeland's messages, gave her Grace Capsules by Joseph Prince, followed up on her, you know, taught her God's word, following up. I gave her confession to be taken, and so on and so forth, because I believe that as she keeps saying who she is in Christ, her mind, her consciousness, and the mercy of what she says, you know. So sometimes she will call me, she will say, Pastor, it has happened again. I didn't plan I was going to sleep with him, I just went to visit him. I said, it's okay. But this, the last time you had sex was 3 months ago. She said, yes. Ah, you have improved. Before, every week. She couldn't help it. It's not laughing. You see, do you know what happens? She has been exposed unnecessarily. This lady I speak to you today, she's a preacher. So I'm saying this with joy. Amen.
gone for her masters, doing beautifully fine, served in Dunamis. Glory to God. So, and the ultimate thing I always told her, I says, we fall forward. Another time comes, she called me after 7 months. Pastor, it has happened again. 7 months. Glory to God. Ooh, glory to God. Teacher, God's word again. Next time she will call me. See, this is a 6 year span. You don't give up on people. 2 years later, I was already in Abuja then. She now came to meet me and said, it just happened again. And some terrible things happened. I don't want to share with you. You know, she had to... the guy impregnated her and so on and so forth. She just lost her dad at that time as well. A lot of things were happening with her, so I had to give a lot of encouragement. But it was just by same message. You have been made right in Christ. Let this be your consciousness. Right now, today, she's on fire. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Such were some of you. So, let this consciousness. Do you know, if you live daily knowing that you are made holy, alright, not trying not to sin, that in itself puts you on the right position to not sin. You know, that's why it surprised me how some Christians can tell. Do you know some Christians, they don't think twice to lie. And let me tell you something. I'm talking about, there's something we call consecration. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? There's something we call consecration, where you find yourself doing, there was a day, you know, I was in a keke, and I just screamed at one woman. I don't know what she did to me. I just screamed, I said, what is this? What do you mean by this? By the time I was done, I said, me. I just screamed. And I declared 3 days of fasting for myself. Reptopro shetel. You're looking at me like I'm law. No. I said, for me to scream like this. Are you feeling what I'm saying? So you personally, not to pursue to try to be holy. You are amazed that this is not me. This can't be me. So you go on a word fast. Fasting, your ears are blocked. You are listening to God's word. You are feeding on God's word. Kenneth A. Hagin. I don't know any tip series of Kenneth Hagin I'm not listening to. Except maybe he's not available. Oh, listen to them. Listen. Copeland, listen. Kate Moore, listen. Andrew Womack, listen. Before I got all these two parties from my head, it was the help of God. Some are still there. I'm still renewing my mind. A few days ago in the office, there's this classic FM. I don't know what that FM is. I don't know. They normally play all this old music. So my colleague in the office, they say, she normally listens to it. I was ready when I was young. Remember, I heard be 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Hey, no woman in love. Pastor, you are singing. Shabra kote sopra hala paskele brokoste. Because then I can rap anything to pack. I had a shirt, all eyes on me, singlet. I used to bob my hair. Skin. When I was in secondary school, they would call me and say, come and rap Tupac to pay, to give me money. Baby, don't cry. Try, keep your hands up. Even when the world is up. You see, he's still there. You can see Philip, he's still there. Oh, is it two American Most Wanted? He and Snoop Dogg. Because nobody can stop Bali. But, I mean, I was like, I needed to get those things. And I will bring dongs. I remember the Obafemi Law University. I will go to the sport and scabash. Go with that time, you know, I was just introduced to, you know, E.W. Kenyon. Read all his books. The first book I came in contact with, New Creation Realities, it changed my life completely.
guess what? It was photocopy. Do this in school. You see somebody that has a book, you don't have money to buy the book, you go and photocopy it. It's too expensive, no money. You go and photocopy it then. 1 naira for two. I think it's 1 naira. Yeah, I think it's 2 naira for up front and back. You even tell them, please do front and back. You know, you'll see, you'll get this marker to read it, to consume it. Read it. There was a time that anytime I talk like this, a time came. It was like saying, it's too much. Because I needed to unlearn to relearn. That is personal consecration. We'll be made holy in Christ. So in our work, we must consciously put ourselves. And that's why you see, let me end with this. I always tell you that growth is measurable. And if something is measurable, that means there must be a standard. Are you following me? So you personally tell yourself, okay, on a daily basis, I want to pray 10 minutes in tongues. Do it. Do it religiously. Every day I'm listening to one tape. Do it religiously. I'm giving you practical ways to live holy. Did you hear what I just said? You can program yourself so much that it gets to a point where your life, you start acting out holily, unconsciously. Like the example I told you, I felt so much on healing so much that I sliced myself with knife, blood came out, the first thing that came out was healed, and the thing closed up. So there's a place where you can be so full of something. You know, do you know some people, they are so full of curses that somebody said, them, you don't mad. When you hear Christian, sometimes you feel like, this one is Christian. It's not as if he's not born again. It's not as if he's not holy. He has not been inundated. He has not fed consistently. He is not yet in the realm of his mind, of his soul. Praise the Lord. That is how to let it flow into every area of your life. But it is not what you do to become holy. It is what you do because you are holy. And that's one of the things I'll teach on Sunday. Oh, don't miss on Sunday. We're talking about sex. Very important. Let me go to appetite. Do you know one thing, church? One of the greatest mystery in quotes. Can I tell you? Do you want to know? One of the greatest mystery to living in sexual purity is to be in control of your vision. What I just told you, you can read 10 books to get the simple truth. You know, sometimes you read 20 books, you learn just one thing. What I just told you is the power of vision. Take yourself, open your phone, remove one, set it on my phone. Now, if you type dog style sex, you only see a dog. I have set the opera mini. You can't see anything. It's not possible. You can set it that it will filter stuff for you. I will read some statistics to you on Sunday. Don't miss it. See, this thing is a serious issue in our time. They want to advertise common toothpaste. They will show a woman. So you wonder, what is toothpaste has to do with nakedness? Are they using the toothpaste to clean the... Do you understand what I'm saying? So you need to personally say, you know what? I'm going to put restraint. I told you now, I've said it several times, that when I was in Sokoto 2014 during my service here, I visited a lady, you know, and she was close to the family house. Family house is where coppers are living. I was the house manager. I just like her. She's such a wonderful, brown, long-skinned girl, you know. Let me visit her salon, since her salon is not far from where we call her Alawi. I said, welcome, Elijah, how are you? I just wanted to come and say hello, you know. So we sat down, and I said, let me sit down. She just slot in Game of Thrones, just the thriller. I just carry my shoe, ran away. for I think maybe 2 or 3 weeks, the picture, anytime I want to pray in tongues, the picture will be playing. I'll say, ah, shatayava. I have to wash myself, like Pastor Chris would say. I have to wash myself. But some people, they can be seeing that same Game of Thrones like this. And the alarm will say, time for prayer. They will pause it and they will go and pray. I don't know how they do it. They have a very high threshold for sexual content. I don't know. That means, do you know what? It means most people are really not praying with their mind when they are praying. Because how do you do it? Do you know what I'm saying? Benny Hinn, you know, Pastor Benny Hinn said, when he began a ministry, see, this is already a minister's conference. Benny Hinn says, you know, I was within 2016, we're just about 200 of us with Synarch in NAF's conference when he first came, when he left COSA on the 2nd of November. On the 3rd of November, we had a closed door meeting with him. I was sitting in front of him. I know I contacted something that day. I'm not ashamed of that. See, Benny Hinn said when he began a ministry, it would take him roughly 1.5 hours to, you know, listen, let me tell you this thing. Listen, prayer is not a feeling, but you can pray to a point where you will feel you are praying. Did you hear what I said? Huh? Some people, he said, but now, he says, oh, Holy Precious Holy Spirit. Now, in a second, when I say, Rabba Shata Rabba, instantly, those of you that know how to pray, you know what I'm saying. When you begin to pray, it will take you sometimes 15 minutes to get your mind aligned. Are you feeling what I'm saying? You are praying Lekro Basket. You are thinking of the bread, the granules. Ah, I want to go and cook. But you get to a point where maybe some of you, it is until 30 minutes before you eat that gosha. For me, before it was like 1.5 hours, but now, 10 minutes. I'm aligned. I don't matter what I was doing before. Let truth stop. So, if you are that kind of person, I don't know how you want to survive your prayer life sans sexual content. And listen, if you are prophetic here, I mean, you're a prophetic vessel that God uses you to see things, you can't afford seeing pornography. It will corrupt. You won't see nothing. Because this is a ministry of pictures. Prophetic. So how do you are praying necrobra? The thing I've heard me for 3 weeks. For me, because that was my own trigger. For me, there was nothing wrong. If you like, where what did you call that thing? Bomb. It doesn't no concern me. But pictures, I can't undo it then. So for everything, I made sure I said. But now I've overgrown it. Amen. But for 3 years, I remember when I was here, most of you remember, come to my pastor, you don't have a TV. I said, TV? 2017, I didn't see any TV. 2018, no TV. 2019, no TV. Can I finish it? And he can't bad, I will go to Sports Center. Yes, Kefi, this is your sport here. Go and pray. Le Trous, Kod Rapata. Le Kut. Ahmed, Mohammed, those guys are vigilante. They know me when I'm coming back. Ah, na pastor. Coming back, red. Your eyes red with the Holy Ghost wine. Sometimes I will sleep inside the same place with mosquito. Computer, come and write spectrum of inside. Brain tongues, man and toro to shete yek. As a same series, I'm showing you how to live holy. Am I blessing you? It's simple, it's not hard. Just incorporate it in your daily life. Simple, put it in your routine, build it up in your routine. Thank God for technology. One of our ministers was telling me, she was the reason why I wanted to come very early, but I still came early. She was the reason why I decided to say I must get it for her. She said, Pastor, I want audio Bible. Thank God for this generation. Things Aiden did not enjoy. Things Kenyon did not enjoy. We can enjoy it now. There is audio Bible. Lectures finish. You are waiting for the next lecturer. Plug in. Listen to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be God who has blessed us with all spiritual. You see, you are listening already. You are listening. Help yourself. Help yourself. Help yourself. Help yourself. Help yourself. help yourself.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. There's someone here. I want to pray with you. Rise on your feet, everybody. There's someone here, the Lord said to tell you, you feel like there is this, in quote now, metaphorically now, there is this fire, you know, that you always felt you used to have, but now is as though you lost the fire. I have a word for you. That fire is unquenchable. You just need to fan the embers. The fire is still there, just fan it. The fire will always be there. You just need to fan it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for making us holy. And we also choose to position ourselves for the life of holiness. Thank you, Father. I want you to put your hand on your chest, on your right hand, and make it, do a prayer of consecration. See, there are different kinds of prayer. There's a prayer. The prayer of consecration was what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's the prayer of consecration. When you say, Lord, I have come to the end of myself. I want to stop struggling to walk holily. I trust in you. I receive strength by your spirit in my inner man. I receive strength by your spirit in my inner man. I bear fruits of holiness because I am holy. I do not struggle to walk in righteousness. This is my identity. I choose to walk holily, even as you are holy. I declare and I affirm that I am set apart by your spirit in me. I am helped, oh God. You see, God doesn't help those who can help themselves. It's a wrong saying that says heaven help those who help themselves. It's not true. Heaven help those who cannot help themselves. So you have to come to that point where you say, Lord, I receive your help. By strength shall no man prevail. Oh, talk to the Lord for just 2 more minutes. I'm giving you time. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Oh, Sabra Halamana Ron Shatara Bahara. Thank you, Father. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Our hearts. Thank you for the surgery that you've done on our hearts via salvation. There was a transplanting in our hearts. You replaced with the stony heart with a tender heart. Thank you, Father. Psalms 110 verse 3 says, thy people shall be willing in the day of your power, in the beauty of holiness. This is the day of your power, resurrection power. We are product of your resurrection, and our heart is tender. Today again, oh, we choose to walk in the light that you have seen us. We walk in the light of life. We renounce every work of darkness. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We commend ourselves in the conscience of every man in the sight of God. Thank you, Father. We pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see you. But we want men to see you in us, so we walk holily. We are your representative. Thank you, Father. We give you praise for this. Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name, we are prayed. I want to encourage you. Follow the devotion we have in this church. This church has designed a very wonderful one for you. What is our prayer plan for this church? 30 minutes in the morning. Brother Kenneth Ihegini, he had an open vision with Jesus. Let me tell you this. One of his several 8 open visions he had. And he told him, he said, if you will pray in tongues 1 hour every day. 1 hour every day. He says, you'll be amazed at the tremendous results you will make in your ministry. Now, this is a ministry instruction God gave him. Can I be honest with you? I say the same to you today. If you can maintain one, see, let me tell you, I don't have much respect for people who do 20 hours, but it's only once in a year. I have honor for you if you do 30 minutes every day throughout the whole year. I respect you. In fact, if you do 10 minutes tongues every day throughout the whole year, I respect you. And somebody who says, I used to do 3 hours at the end of the year, just three. I used to do 3 days stretch in tongues. It's about the consistency. Did you hear what I said? Why am I emphasizing prayer and we're talking about holiness? I know why. Because you see, let me tell you, when you are prayed up, I'm not feeling that you feel touched the day you don't do morning devotion. I'm not know what I'm talking about. That's when you start acting. You feel like, listen to me. It's a call to the normal. There's a special normal for us. The normal is not our normal. Are you following what I'm saying? Build a culture. You know you are a minister here. God has called you to be a minister. See, live a ministerial life. Have a time of study. Pray religiously. You know what I mean religiously? That means alarm is there to tell you. That's what I mean by religiously. Set your alarm. Even if you are eating and you see the alarm, have so much consecration that even if you are doing something, eating, you stop it. It's time for prayer. Look at our parents. They don't have much knowledge. Look at the zeal that they had. You have much knowledge. Don't drop the zeal. Pick it up. You will be amazed at the tremendous results you will produce. I'm telling you. You want to heal the sick? You want to preach the gospel? You want to raise the dead? I'm not preaching fables. I have done it and I'm still doing it. You hear what I said? I've raised the dead. Are you hearing me? And I will raise much more. Are you hearing me? Heal the sick. Got people from the wheelchair. You can do it. I'm talking about ministers now. But listen, it's for the believers. You'll be in that cab going to Abuja from Kefi. Be bold to say, good afternoon, everybody. I want to tell you about Jesus. Jesus loves you. He died for you. Just accept him. Start with 2 minutes message in the bus. You can. I'm showing you how to live holy. This is what it means to live holy. Do you know why? Because you have been set apart. So you have to live for the one. Did you hear what Paul says? Paul says, we thus judge that if one died, then all be dead. And those who live should no longer live to themselves, but unto him who died for them. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. In verse 15, it says, the love of Christ propel us. For we thus judge that if one died, then all be dead. And those who live should no longer live for themselves, but unto him who died for them. So the church in Galatia, what did he say? He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That means I'm not living for myself again. I'm sold out. That's what it means. Sold out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I just heard this. Kadiri, come. See, the Lord says to tell you, he says, give me time
says the Lord. Create time for me. Make room for me. That's what the Lord says. See, you are a minister, says the Spirit of God. Create time for me. Create time for me. Create time. Do it religiously. Create time. Create time. For see, when you create time for me, he says, see, in those times, there will be so much of specific instructions that you will follow through. Create time, says the Lord. Create time for him. Create time for him. It could be, I'm talking now by, not by the Spirit now, I'm just talking, it could be that you wake up every 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. just pray in the Spirit. Letros kefrahati. And when you pray, just open up your heart. As you talk, listen. As you talk, listen. Write, follow. See, you are not just going to be playing. I mean, look at Nathaniel Bassi. He has a blue trumpet, but you see, see, you are not just going to be playing this thing alone. You are a minister, said the Lord. A minister. That's it. That's it. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I just heard this again. Thank you, Father. Blessing, come. Blessing, come. See, the Lord says to tell you, he says, that hunger in your heart, that hunger in your heart for the world, he says, I am the one enlarging your capacity. He says, stay on it, stay on it, stay on it, stay on it. Look, you see, he says, when the cloud be full of rain, when the clouds be full of rain, they will empty themselves on the earth. Right, stay on it. It says, I'm enlarging your capacity, says the Lord. I'm enlarging your capacity. I'm enlarging your capacity. Take it in more. Be deliberate about it. Take notes. Listen again and again. Follow hard on it. Put yourself on serious, beautiful routine that will help your devotion. You see, well, where you were seated there, right there in my spirit, the Lord put my eyes in the spirit. And I see you, you know, halo. Like when you're in a place and then the place is, there's lights around it. That's light for impact. All right? Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, okay. I hear this again. Thank you, Father. There's someone here, the Lord says to tell you, when you were young, when you were much more younger, supernaturally you know things. Sometimes it even comes to dreams, but at a certain stage of your life you just realize that it's just as though things now start happening to you, as though you just feel like you are detached from that kind of life where you supernaturally. What I'm saying in a sense is this: when you were much younger, before things even happen, you know, I mean, by the Spirit you just know, and it was so easy for you. But somehow when you grew up, yeah, I heard that in my spirit, when you turn 18 thereabouts, the Lord says to tell you, don't let the devil condemn you and make you feel like you've lost it. It's not true. The fire is still there. Fan the ember. Fan the ember. Fan the ember. You remember the example I gave you during Trees of Glory? Papa Abraham, when God first appeared to him, these are teachings and symbolisms in Genesis 12. The Bible says, and Abraham built an altar. When he built an altar, he put up stones, then he left. Many years later, his grandson Jacob was just going on the road and he was tired. By this time, that altar, those stones have scattered. I mean, heat has come, rain has come, wind has blown those stones, so it doesn't even look like an altar anymore. The stones has fallen apart. Then one of his grandsons was passing by, Jacob. So he was tired on that same land. He later named the place Bethel. It was called Luz before, L-U-Z.
That was the same land. He just let him just sleep. As he was about to sleep, the Bible says he now picked one of the stones. The stones have scattered, all right? You couldn't know it's an altar. So you might feel your devotion is scattered, but guess what? The Bible says when Jacob just picked the stones and laid his head, what happened? Instantly he saw angels not ascending and descending, no, descending, no, ascending and descending, not descending and ascending. That means they were there descending and ascending. These are teachers and symbolism. That means, listen, and guess what? The very thing God told Abraham in Genesis 12 concerning the plan of God for salvation says, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God said the same thing to Jacob too again. Number one, what can we draw from there? That the salvation of the plan of God is for man is eternal. Because the same thing he told Abraham, even when the stones are scattered, he still told Jacob. Secondly, it shows that, listen, it doesn't matter how scattered your devotions are, because altar there signifies devotion. If you just fan the embers, you'll be amazed. Some of you feel, well, when I was younger, I used to do things for God very easy, lay hands on the sick, but now I don't think I have gone into the world. No! No! You can bring it back to shape. Are you hearing me? You can. You can. I pray for you that in the name of Jesus, that this meeting today will have an indelible imprint on your heart. And it will cause you to walk in the same. And you will bear forth fruit in Jesus' name. Can we share the goodness? Surely God's goodness and mercies are following us all the days of our lives, because we are the house of the Lord now and forevermore. Amen. I love you guys. Amen.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 0785 66. We celebrate you.